This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one person who somehow plans their entire trip using points and avoids a sick-hour layover? Well, that's the kind of energy Smart Travel brings. NerdWallet's travel writers break down how to use AI to plan smarter trips without being optimized into a ridiculous layover, when a travel advisor can actually save you money and unlock perks that you didn't even know existed, whether it's better to pay cash or use points, and how to tell the difference. Upgrade trips, not bills, with NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Today, we're tackling positioning flights, because here's a basic truth. If you want to get the most out of your points and miles, you have to understand the power of positioning. It's the difference between I can't find any good flights and I'm popping bottles in the sky. Think real numbers. Out of my own airport, I've seen business class prices at almost 170,000 points, while at an airport 4 hours away to the same destination, it was only 88,000. A cheap flight or train can save points, unlock seats for a family, or tap into those city-specific cash deals. I'll start with what a positioning flight is, show how I reverse engineer routes, and talk about the pros and cons of positioning. We'll hit buffers, backups, baggage pitfalls, and an advanced stopover move that can fold your positioning leg into the same ticket. By the end, you'll know when to position, how to do it safely, and how to keep the stress low while the savings stay high.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Just as a reminder, you can catch the full version of this on YouTube as well, on our YouTube channel, as well as we do have a travel style or vlog style video that is Boldly Go Travels that we link to in all the show notes. And for those who watch our content on YouTube, every Friday we do release our weekly quick hits. That's our up-to-date news in the world of points and miles and travel. So if you only are watching on YouTube, you're missing out on about half of the show that's on audio only. So that is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you catch your audio-only podcasts. So today's topic is all around positioning flights. Have you ever found an amazing flight deal or an award ticket only to realize that it departs from an airport that is nowhere near you? Or maybe you've got plenty of points, but the best redemption requires starting in some other city. Well, so in those are cases that a positioning flight can save the day. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to break down what positioning flights are, why they're often worth considering, and how to use them wisely. Now, I know many of you who listen to this show are pretty experienced with points and miles, but we talk about a lot of really great strategies in our WhatsApp chat and ask questions. And I know that many of you do have an advanced understanding, but this is still a pretty basic and fundamental piece of the puzzle. And I know that there are many new people who are getting into this game every single day. And while I love to deep dive into the more complex aspects of points and miles, it doesn't hurt to visit the basics. And that's what we're going to be doing today. So today we're going to cover some tips for the newcomers, like what the heck a positioning flight even is. And then we're going to go into a few pro strategies that even a seasoned points and miles traveler can come to appreciate. So by the end of this episode, you're going to know how to safely tack on an additional flight or theoretically a train or drive, to save thousands of points or even dollars, or unlock award seats that would otherwise be out of reach. And the point of this as well is how we can do all of this while avoiding common pitfalls and being less stressed out about it as well. So let's start with, what is a positioning flight? And it's simply an extra leg that you book separate from your main itinerary, your main award booking, to get you to the airport or city from which your real flight is going to depart from. Or theoretically can also get you to your final destination. As an example, if you're flying to the US to Europe, maybe your final destination's in Madrid, but your best points flight was from New York to Paris, and then you do a positioning flight from Paris to Madrid very easily. So in essence, you position yourself at the right place to take advantage of the great flight deal or an award ticket. So that often means flying, and again, it can actually mean driving or even taking a train from your home airport to a major hub where that awesome long-haul flight begins, or doing the reverse at your destination's end. So a great example of this is that we live in the Virginia Beach area, and I pretty much almost never find great points deals out of my home airport in Norfolk. So we often end up finding our best deals flying out of JFK or DC or even down to Miami. So if I book a flight out of DC, I could choose to either fly up there, take the train, or drive 4 hours and leave from there. That short journey is what we would call our positioning segment. So positioning flights, I want to be clear, are not the same as a normal connection flight or a connecting flight all booked on the same ticket, typically. With a standard connection, which is all in one itinerary, the airlines can coordinate your bags, they can protect your connection if delays happen. These are all things that kind of work pretty seamlessly, and that's something that most of us are probably used to, especially when we're paying for cash flights. We have multiple stops, usually maybe one stop at a major hub before our final destination. But a positioning flight is typically booked separately, so you're on the hook yourself if something goes wrong. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to manage that risk shortly. But first, let's talk about, why would anyone want to go through this extra trouble at all to even book a positioning flight? So the main reason why you would use a positioning flight is to save your points or your cash, or to access flights that you otherwise couldn't take out of your main airport. Because airlines often price awards much different rates and much cheaper from certain hubs or certain regions. And if you're willing to get yourself to these gateways, then you can snag pretty incredible deals. And this is one of the big early lessons that you need to use or to learn if you're new to the points and miles world. Because unlike using your closest airport and destination and picking where you want to go through Google Flights, in order to make your points go further, you're going to need to learn how to find the best route to your destination with the best deal that works for you. The other component is really the huge point saving specifically, because positioning flights can dramatically cut the miles down that are needed. For example, if I wanted to fly to Paris in business class on the week of May 12th, using specifically my Chase points, at least as of this recording, I could do it from Dulles on May 12th for 88,000 points on Swiss Air and only pay $25 in taxes. However, if I tried flying from my home airport in Norfolk, Virginia, my best options that same week, and coincidentally on the same day, would be for 174,500 points and $57 in taxes. So a $150 one-way ticket or a train ride could save me over 86,000 points and another $32 in taxes and fees. That 86,000 points could very easily be my one-way flight back from Europe back home if I knew, or if I used a positioning flight instead of spending all those extra points and burning them just so I can be more conveniently departing from my home airport and have everything connect beautifully. Another case, it would be like business class from Portland, Maine to London was pricing at around 148,000 points, but New York to London was just 60,000 points. So spending maybe $100 on a trip to Portland to New York City, that positioning flight could cut the miles down by more than half. And I think that's a trade-off that most people would take. And often those impossible to find award seats do exist, but just not from your home airport. So if you've heard on podcasts or in blogs or whatever it may be about these really awesome trips and opportunities you can take, but you never see them, it might be because you're looking from the wrong destinations. By widening your search to other departing cities, you might find more seats available, let's say if you are a larger family, or cheaper award rates. So for example, British Airways Avios has had sweet spots like flights to Hawaii or Ireland for 13,000 Avios, but only if you depart from certain West Coast or East Coast cities. And if you don't live near those, a positioning flight, say to Los Angeles or New York, could unlock that really efficient points use or unlock that deal for you. And as I just mentioned, when you need multiple award seats, say you want a family of four in business class, your home airport might have zero availability for that. But there could be seats if you start in a different city. I often like to use tools like Points Yeah, their Daydream Explorer, or Seats.Aero to scan broadly for award space. So for example, anywhere in North America to Europe, or any airline from the US to Asia. These tools allow us to see all the different options that you might not have thought of, and that can help you figure out your routing as well. You might find that there's four business class seats from an airport a few states away. And that's where positioning comes in. You snag the award seats from that other airport, and then you just book a short flight to get there. Yes, I know, it's a little bit of more extra legwork, but it can make an impossible, or what feels like impossible, redemption way more possible, way more feasible, and for a lot less cost. And don't think that you just have to position for points and miles travel as well. Flight sales are often very city specific also. So you might see a crazy cheap cash fare from a major hub that isn't offered from your local airport. Maybe you grab a $50 or $100 budget flight to that hub, and that could save you hundreds of dollars on the long haul fare as well. And on the bright side, a positioning flight, or a positioning layover, I should say, can be turned into a little bit of like a mini trip. If you've never visited the city you're connecting in, you could plan a long stop or overnight and do a little bit of sightseeing. For example, with our honeymoon that's coming up, that was always supposed to be Fiji and New Zealand. However, after working on it for a good long while, I was finding the best options for the use of miles I was looking for while searching was a stop in Hong Kong specifically. So now we're going to get a chance to spend 4 days in Hong Kong. We're going to stay at the Grand Hyatt, and we're going to get a chance to explore an amazing new country that is host to some of the top bars in the world, which, as many of you know, if you follow the show, we're a fan of checking off the list of some of the newest 50 best bars that come out every single year. And that is a great opportunity we have because of positioning. Now, technically speaking, we're not flying from my home airport to Hong Kong. We do actually, that points trip was from JFK. So actually, this is a double positioning strategy because we have to first get to JFK and we paid cash for that flight. And then we have our award trip from JFK to Hong Kong. And Hong Kong then has a great opportunity to get to Fiji for low points for us. So we kind of double position, although realistically, we're kind of saying now that our honeymoon is Hong Kong, Fiji, and New Zealand. But Hong Kong popped up because I found that is one of the most strategic ways to get to Fiji at this time that we were actually looking. Now, of course, all of these advantages do have some trade-offs. So before you book that extra flight, you need to be aware of some of the risks and challenges so you can plan properly. But before we get into those, let's talk about some strategies on how to actually book a positioning flight or to figure out where you should go for a positioning flight. And there are a few different methods out there. You can Google search some of the best routes to get to whatever destination you're looking for. And there's oftentimes blogs, there's posts, there's people that say, hey, you know, try looking through these airlines leaving from these airports. Or as I mentioned, you can use points tool like pointsyeah.com to search for flights out of various airports they mentioned to get to the destination that you want to get to within a certain date range. One of my favorite tools to use, and I'll link this in the show notes, it was part back in episode 69, which were the episode that's all about my favorite tools for points and miles. So if you haven't checked that out, I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode, but it's flightconnections.com. Now, I actually went ahead and paid for, I think a lifetime subscription was less than 150 bucks when I got it. But what I loved about flightconnections.com is I could actually go and say, okay, where do I want to go? Let's say that was Bali, for instance. I click on the Bali airport, and then I could see all of the spiderwebbing airports that were connected. Now, the regional flights and those type of things, I have no interest in, but I could see that there's many flights that go in and out of Taipei or different locations. And so I could kind of reverse engineer and figure out what's my best way to get to Bali based on what airports fly into there. Or if I know specifically I want to use my American Airlines miles, I'm going to look at what airports I could get to Bali with that use the One World Alliance, since American Airlines is in the One World Alliance. So I love to use flight connections because I can reverse engineer the stops required, and that usually then tells me what flights to search from. So when we ended up going to Bali, I found that Bali has flights that connect through Taipei, I believe Hong Kong, and oftentimes those flights originate out of San Francisco. So all I simply was able to do or needed to search was San Francisco to Bali, and that's how we found our main awards flight. And we had to position to San Francisco in order to pick up that flight. So that was a huge tool that made things very easy for us to be able to utilize. I absolutely love using that myself. There is a free version of it as well. You don't get to get as much information like sorting by alliances and other things like that, but you can still very easily for free see what airports connect into the airport or the destination you're going for. And unless you really want to filter down by airline or alliance, that can honestly probably be all that you need to use it for. So let's transition and talk a little about the risks and the drawbacks of positioning flights, because that is something that is very key to know, because complications can arise. I think one of the biggest things is that there's no protection for missed connections. If your positioning flight is delayed or canceled for whatever reason, and you miss your main flight, the second airline doesn't care. You're a no-show and they have absolutely no obligation to rebook you. You're effectively on your own to fix the mess in whatever way you can. So this is why I harp so much on building in buffer time, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. So understand that it's a calculated gamble. So this is one of the biggest things we're going to talk through how to sort through, because it's one of the biggest risks, but it's also probably one of the easiest to be able to solve if you plan accordingly. Another downside is the longer travel time, because by definition, you're not taking the most direct route from your home to your final destination. You may have to backtrack a little bit, have a little bit of a longer layover, adding in extra hours to your journey, maybe even adding in an overnight stay. A positioning leg means that there's extra time in transit for waiting at airports, which can be a little tiring. So I know I've already said this, but I have to stress this. You should always give yourself a large amount of buffer time anyway. So a few hours, 4 to 5+ hours, or even an overnight between the positioning flight and your main flight. But that padding means that you're spending much more time traveling compared to, you know, single one ticket itinerary. And I know time is valuable and not everyone has enough PTO and other obligations they might have, or positioning makes things a little bit less enjoyable because they may have less time to enjoy their destination. So you're going to have to be the one to decide if the extra time is worth it or not for the trip that you're trying to make. Another thing that can easily pop up are potential schedule changes, because even after you book, things can change. Airlines might reschedule or cancel your flight, and that could be your positioning flight or your main flight. It can shift to an earlier time in the day. Suddenly your planned connection may not actually work, and you may have to scramble to adjust your positioning flight. And that's assuming you notice that the schedule has changed, which is why you want to make sure that you're tracking everything as best as possible. So because of this, it's best to avoid non-changeable fares for positioning legs. If you paid extra for a flexible ticket, or you use miles on an airline that, you know, allows for free changes, you usually can have or be able to modify the positioning flight pretty easily. I know it's a headache for sure, but it's one more moving part of your trip to monitor as everything gets closer. A great example of this for us is that on our trip from Hong Kong to Fiji months ago, they ended up actually canceling the flight that we were actually supposed to take from Hong Kong to Fiji and completely changed the dates of availability for that. So thankfully, that's not affecting our positioning flight, but that did reduce our time in Fiji by a day. And I already had our hotel booked in Fiji, and I had to contact them because that was a points booking as well, to see if they'd be willing to move our stay one day over to the right, which is very difficult during the holiday period. They were able to comply, so I'm thankful for them for that. And we're going to talk about all that when we get into an episode recapping our honeymoon trip. But flight changes can happen, and you want to make sure that you're staying abreast and tracking everything. Now, checking luggage on separate tickets is, to put it mildly, can be an absolute pain. Because if you check your bag on your positioning flight, you must pick it up at baggage claim and then recheck it with the next airline if you weren't able to get them to code all the way through because they were all in the same alliance. And you have to go back through security for your next flight. So this process can eat up a lot of time and also adds a lot of stress because you're going to be anxiously watching the baggage carousel and thinking about the clock. Plus, if your bag gets misrouted or lost on the first leg, it's not going to automatically follow you to your final destination. And neither airline is going to courier it to your final destination for you since your journey wasn't all on one ticket. You're going to have to coordinate getting that bag back by yourself. So for all those reasons, I strongly suggest not checking bags when you are positioning if you can help it, and travel with carry-ons if possible. It definitely simplifies things tremendously. Not to mention, if you do miss your connection or have to jump to an alternate flight, at least you have your stuff with you and can be super flexible, which will make your world a whole lot easier. Now, personally, I always try to do carry-on for this one particular reason, with a few exceptions. However, my fiance Taryn is not on the carry-only train yet, as no matter how hard I try. So no matter what I do for myself, we're still likely having to deal with baggage claim, rechecking, security, all those different things. Now, granted, we only have to worry about one bag getting lost more than often as opposed to a few, but it can still be a little bit more of a headache, but you have to navigate, and honestly, it's a world where you got to pick your battles. So managing multiple reservations also means multiple check-in windows, confirmation codes, apps, and possibly dealing with different airlines or alliances. So if plans change, you may need to cancel or change two or three separate bookings instead of one, which can be very time-consuming and could also potentially be costly. Some travelers are going to find this hassle really not worth the savings. And also, if you're traveling with small children, that can understandably mean that you want less complexity, not more. So plan properly with what they can handle as well. While Taryn and I can take 5 flights on 3 separate tickets to come back from Singapore with no problem at all, that may not work for you. So you got to know yourself. If juggling itineraries stresses you out, you might prefer to keep it simple with a single through ticket or try to only work with a positioning flight within the same alliance as your long haul flight so that at least they can code the baggage and everything all the way through. So my pro tip for you is to use apps or tools to keep everything and all your bookings organized. I've talked about this before and it's listed in the same episode as the favorite tools of mine, but I love using TripIt Pro, which shows our entire itinerary, all our bookings, automatically adds all of our bookings. I can see if there's any gaps, any excursions we have, all of those things are put together very nicely and very simply. Wonderlog is another app that is very similar to that. I know Flighty is a very popular app to track flights and delays and things like that. So whatever you're using, use something that can help you be more organized. Now, in the worst case, if you completely miss your main flight due to a delay, you may have to buy a last-minute replacement ticket or sacrifice your really awesome, really efficient points booking. And that can be pretty expensive. So as a financial advisor, I think addressing the financial risk is really important because we do all of these things so that we're not shelling out so much money out of pocket in order to have these incredible trips and luxury experiences. But you've got to know that a positioning flight is essentially you're self-insuring your trip. You're accepting the risk, and if things go wrong, that cost could be the money or miles that you're going to have to spend to recover. So later we're going to talk a little bit more about how to mitigate this risk, but it's really important to acknowledge up front that you need to have a plan B or at least the financial flexibility to handle unexpected problems. If everything goes smoothly, you'll pat yourself on the back for saving miles and for having a great trip. But if not, you might be shelling out for a walk-up fare, and that can be very expensive and very annoying if you're schlepping at 13 hours in economy when you had a business class flight already laid out. So always weigh that worst case scenario. Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. So I know after I just ran through all that, some of you who might be new to the points and miles world might say, wow, that sounds like a lot of risk. But fear not, for many of us, myself included, positioning flights is done very regularly and without issue for the most part. So the key is to plan carefully and follow some best practices to manage the risk. So these are my top 10 tips and a few learned lessons for making positioning flights work seamlessly. And this is where we get into the nitty-gritty of how to avoid the nightmare scenarios and stack the deck in your favor. The first one, as I've mentioned a number of times already, give yourself lots of time. Think buffer, buffer, buffer. The golden rule for positioning is don't cut it too close. This applies to both your outbound flight, so that means getting to your big, long-haul, lie-flat business class seat, but also on your way home as well. For outbound positioning, before an international or otherwise important flight, you want to plan a generous layover. I'm talking at least 5 hours, but more if you can. In fact, I often position a full day early if possible, especially if my flight out is the next morning. I'm definitely trying to get there the day before. Because flying in the night before your award trip departs and staying overnight near the airport is honestly the safest bet and helps you kill the stress. Now, with your schedule, with PTO, whatever it may be, if an overnight isn't feasible, then a morning flight would be your friend. So it'd be better to arrive at 10 a.m. for a 5 p.m. Europe departure and camp out in a lounge than it is to land 45 minutes before boarding and pray that you make it, especially if you have checked bags that you have to get from baggage claim, go back through security, do all of those things. Oftentimes, you can use that time to explore the city a bit, hang out in the lounge, or do something more creative. So for example, from a creative standpoint, if you recall when I just mentioned about our trip to Bali, which was back in episode 41, by the way, we positioned to San Francisco. Well, we had a flight there that landed around 11 a.m. in San Francisco time, and then our outbound was 1 a.m. the next morning. We had originally planned to see the city as Taryn had never been to San Francisco before, and then eventually get back to the airport and hang out in a lounge. But we were honestly so exhausted on our flight there to San Francisco that while I was on the plane, I actually booked the Grand Hyatt San Francisco, which is attached to the airport on points, and the room was actually ready when we landed at 11 a.m. So we were able to relax, we napped in the room, and we actually checked out of our room around 10 p.m. so we could head to our flight. Well, first head to the lounge, relax at our lounge, and then head to our flight. Now for return positioning, which means after your main trip, when you're flying home, you can still be a little bit more lenient, but I still aim for a minimum 3-hour connection if I have to connect to get home, but I typically would like longer, still going around 5 hours or so. That allows time to clear immigration, deal with delays, collect bags if needed, recheck, all those different things. Actually, on that same Bali trip, which we talk about in part 2, which is episode 42, our London to JFK flight was delayed by 6 hours, and we had a 5-hour layover planned in JFK. So before that flight took off, I was able to do a flight change, and I left later out of JFK instead. And I did that right from my app, I believe, flying through American Airlines. So missing your flight home is not as problemsome, obviously, because worst case, you get home a little bit later just the next day. But missing the flight to your destination, that can absolutely torpedo your vacation and torpedo your whole trip. So you definitely want to prioritize buying time on the route out. So number 2 is that you want to avoid the last flight of the day. And this goes hand in hand with this buffer idea. Whenever possible, don't book the last available flight on your positioning route before your connection. If there's an earlier option in the day that still gets you in with plenty of time, you're going to want to take that one. That way, if the earlier flight is canceled or significantly delayed, you still have a later flight that you could get on and you haven't missed the plane. For example, if I need to be in New York by nighttime to catch a morning transatlantic flight, I'm not going to take the 9 p.m. last departure from my home airport. I'm going to opt for the 5 p.m. or 3 p.m. or 6 p.m. flight instead. That way, it gives me at least one more shot, the 9 p.m. flight, if the 5 p.m. fails. Similarly, if the airline ends up canceling the 5 p.m. or there's storms or whatever it may be, they might automatically move me to the 9 p.m. But if you were booked on the last flight and it's canceled or delayed or whatever it may be, well, you're stuck. So this tip alone has saved us at least once, so it's one to I would hold dear to my heart. Number three is book positioning flights on flexible or refundable fares, because flexibility is really your best friend when dealing with multiple tickets. Whenever you can, you're going to want to use airlines or fare types that allow for free cancellations or changes up to the last minute. Thankfully, many of our airlines in the U.S. have generous change policies on award tickets and even paid tickets in the higher fare classes. So in most places, you can do this almost right up to departure. But even if you book a cash ticket, consider paying a little bit more for a refundable or at least changeable fare, or use an airline credit that you wouldn't mind getting back as a voucher. So if you don't even get the cash back, I know I will cancel American Airlines flight with no issues because I fly American Airlines so much. I'm going to use the voucher that they're going to give me towards a future flight well before it expires. Number four is consider booking backup flights, and that's especially for the outbound strategy. Now, this is a pro-level tactic that can absolutely save you. If missing your positioning flight is going to ruin the trip, I often will book a backup positioning flight as a safety net. So how does that work? Well, let's say I have a crucial award flight that leaves at 5 p.m. from another city. Well, I'll book my positioning flight to get me there, say, by noon, right? So creating that 5-hour buffer at very minimum. I likely would probably actually get there a little bit earlier. Then I might use miles to book a second flight slightly later in the day. Let's say I have a 1 p.m. option that would get me in at 3 p.m. Now, not super ideal, but it is a backup strategy. If my first flight operates on time, well, then once I'm safely either on the ground at my destination or I'm about to take off, I will cancel the backup flight with no worries at all. If the first flight gets delayed or canceled, though, and I have a 1 p.m. backup booking ready to go, and ideally I haven't checked bags, which makes this easier as well, then I will simply just cancel the first flight and take the second flight. So because I have a flexible award ticket, I'm canceling a flight that I don't have to worry about losing my dollar, losing my points, or whatever it may be. I do also make sure I set a reminder on my phone to make sure I do cancel in time, because no one wants to accidentally burn their points or their cash because they forgot to cancel a backup. So the goal here is to never be left without a ride, without an option. But again, make sure you cancel whichever one you don't use so you don't end up wasting your money or your points. So number five is to strategize with multiple airlines and alliances. In positioning scenarios, you aren't limited to the airline of your main ticket. Feel free to use whatever airline is most convenient or most reliable from your home airport. For example, maybe your big trip is on Singapore Airlines from Los Angeles, but you live in Denver. You could use United miles for a Denver to LAX flight or Southwest points, or even pick a paid Frontier flight if the timing works. Pick the option that balances best the cost, the flexibility, and the reliability that you're looking for. Also, think about the frequency of flights. If your position is on a route with many daily flights, your odds of catching a later one or being accommodated if one is canceled are way better. I also prefer nonstop positioning flights whenever possible, because every connection in a positioning itinerary is one more opportunity for a delay or a misconnection. I only book positioning flights to airports I know I can either fly directly to, or I can have a positioning day, which is the day before, to get there if it does require two stops. So remember, think reliability here. You're playing goalie against Murphy's Law when you're booking with positioning flights. So number six, I already mentioned this earlier under the risks, but again, pack carry-on only if you can. It bears repeating this because it's one of the easiest ways to streamline your connecting journey. If you don't check luggage, you eliminate a huge source of potential delay and worry. Also note, if you do check a bag, at many airports, a flight isn't available to check into until 3 hours before the flight departs. So if you have a 10-hour layover and you were planning on relaxing in a lounge, you might not be able to do so unless the airport has some sort of luggage storage for you to put your bags until you're able to go back and leave security, check your bags, then go back through security to be able to get to your flight or go back into the lounge. So that can definitely be another bit of a hassle and an annoyance if you have to deal with that. Number 7 is to use one-way bookings for flexibility. Whenever possible, book your main trip as separate one-ways rather than a round trip on a single ticket. Now, this is a general points and miles tip because one-ways give you more flexibility to change one direction without affecting another. And it's especially relevant for positioning because if something forces you to adjust your outbound, you don't actually have to mess up your return. By having inbound and outbound travel itineraries independent of each other, you can easily scrap or reroute one part of them. And another benefit, if you did have to miss your outbound flight entirely, let's just say that's worst case scenario, at least your return ticket home wouldn't automatically cancel. Whereas on a round trip ticket, a no-show on the first leg could possibly nuke your entire itinerary. So let's say you took our advice and now you're arriving super early. Well, number 8 is lounge access, because that's a lifesaver. Now, I know this goes without saying because most of us are in the points and miles space. We have cards that give us lounge access. But for those that are newer to this world, what do you do for hours at the airport? Well, having lounge access pays off. So if you have a credit card or status that gets you into the airport lounges, or because you're flying long haul business class, you get access to some of the premium lounges available, that is where you make do with your time. And another tip here, if you have 2 separate tickets, you might be able to use lounges on arrival as well as on departure, because some lounges let you in if you can show a boarding pass for a flight later that day, even if you just landed on another airline. Now, policies vary, but I have used an inbound boarding pass to access a lounge when I had a long wait before my next ticket's check-in. At the very least, being in a frequent flyer elite program or having certain credit cards can get you into somewhere to freshen up and relax. So plan for comfort during your buffer time, and you definitely won't feel like it was wasted. So number 9 is to have a plan B and C for worst case scenarios. Despite the best laid plans, life's going to happen. Flights cancel, weather hits, things go all over the place. Before you embark, think through, what would I do if my positioning flight is canceled or massively delayed? Have a rough game plan. This could mean knowing the next flight out on all relevant airlines so you can quickly try to get on it. It could mean having a backup booking like we already talked about, or at least knowing the change in cancellation rules so you can modify on the fly. In some locations or situations, your plan B might be to just buy a walk-up ticket on another airline or even rent a car and drive if it's within a few miles to get to your positioning destination. Keep an eye on events that could disrupt travel. So ideally, snowstorms, weather conditions, things like that. And if you have to, or you're thinking the timing may need you to move your positioning flight to a day earlier, go ahead and do so. And another aspect of plan B is consider having travel insurance as well that covers missed connections. Standard policies often exclude separate ticket missed connections, but a few travel insurers do offer an optional coverage for the scenario that's oftentimes called missed connection or something similar. And it might reimburse you for some cost to catch up to your trip if your first flight's delay causes the rest of your itinerary to blow up. If you have a premium credit card, check it if it does offer any protections for trip delays or missed connections. It is possible, although again, by not having them on the same itinerary, that can cause a little bit of an issue, but at least maybe if you have to stay in a hotel overnight or whatever it may be, you can get some of those expenses reimbursed. Mental rehearsal of the worst case scenarios can help you feel a lot more ready and ready to act if things fall apart. And lastly, number 10, a tip that might sound counterintuitive is sometimes it may not make sense to position. And that is knowing when the complexity or the risk just isn't worth it. If the points or cash savings are minimal, or if you're dealing with a once-in-a-lifetime trip that you cannot risk, you want to weigh what's worth missing and what isn't. Or if saving 20,000 points per person isn't that big of a deal because you have an insane stockpile of points, that's something you want to consider as well. Or if an award is only slightly cheaper from another city, maybe it's better to just keep it simple. I always run the numbers and consider the hassle factor, because flexibility is the name of the game in this hobby. And that includes the flexibility to say, you know what, I'll just burn a few more miles and not worry about a separate positioning flight or really complicating this booking. And there's no shame in that at all. The end goal is to enjoy your trip after all. Now, this is a bit more of an advanced strategy, but I do want to get into this a little bit, because another way to think about positioning flights is to skip booking them as separate itineraries and using them as a stopover instead. Because a stopover is just a planned pause in your way to your real destination, and some programs let you add that for little or no extra cost. If you do it right, then you would have been able to avoid having a risky separate positioning flight. That means your bags go all the way through, and if something gets delayed, the airport or the airline has to fix it. Now, again, this is a much more advanced technique, and transparently, I've never actually successfully been able to execute this myself, just due to plans oftentimes not working out or aligning it in a way that I needed it to work with my home airport and everything else. Not for lack of trying, but just hasn't actually worked out. And it often takes a lot more work in both the searching and oftentimes requires that you speak with a phone agent to handle the booking. And not every airline or every program has this. For example, Aeroplan is absolutely amazing for international stopovers, but they don't allow them within the US or Canada. So if you're trying to fly from Cleveland to Chicago to get to Frankfurt, Aeroplan will treat that Chicago stop as just a layover if it's under 12 hours, but they won't let you stretch it into an overnight stop if you needed to. Now, Alaska Airlines Atmos is probably the best for this. They allow one free stopover on a one-way award. So let's say you find a Japan Airlines business class from Seattle to Tokyo for 60,000 Alaska miles or Atmos miles. Well, instead of booking a separate Cleveland to Seattle flight, you could book Cleveland to Seattle, make that overnight, and then Tokyo as one award, and it would still price as 60,000 miles. That overnight in Seattle effectively became your positioning leg, but it's still protected altogether. And then there's Flying Blue, the program for Air France and KLM. They'll let you add a stopover on a one-way for no extra miles. So if you see New York to Paris for, say, 55,000 Flying Blue miles, you could book Cleveland to New York overnight for Paris for that same exact 55,000 miles. Instead of stressing over the separate positioning flight to JFK, it's all on one protected itinerary. So if you play it right, you could sometimes get that positioning leg included on the same ticket using a stopover for either only a little bit more miles or a little bit more taxes and fees. Not only does it save you the cost of miles or booking separate, but it also helps eliminate some of the risk. And the airline, again, is responsible for helping getting you to your final destination if something goes wrong. So overall, positioning flights are a fantastic tool in the points and miles world. They can unlock deals that would otherwise be out of reach, which could be meaning saving tens of thousands of miles, finding seats for the whole family, or catching an ultra cheap cash fare from a different city. But by effectively thinking outside of your airport, you can often travel better, travel cheaper, or possibly travel sooner. But as we've discussed, they do require a bit of extra care. The key takeaways for using positioning flights like a pro is plan ahead, pad your schedule generously, remember, buffer, 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 use flexible bookings, and have a backup plan. Do that, and you'll greatly minimize the risks that come with separate tickets. So by using the right strategies and understanding the risks and doing things properly, you can take advantage of amazing award finds to incredible destinations or special fare classes or amazing business class, long haul, hard to find redemptions without losing sleep over what if I miss my flight. In my own travels, positioning flights have led to some of the best redemptions and yeah, a little bit of worry at times, but I've learned to respect the buffer and give myself as much time as possible for contingencies. So regardless of your points and miles level, I hope these tips have been able to help you approach positioning flights with a smart game plan. And if done right, positioning flights are absolutely worth it as they open up a world of possibilities, quite literally, for your trips. So if you enjoyed this episode today, as always, I would love if you would follow us on all the social media channels, sign up for our newsletter, our private Facebook group, our WhatsApp community. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. And as always, we will see you in the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, This should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Can you travel in a way that's better for people and the planet? On Curious Tourism, the Responsible Travel Podcast, we explore how tourism shapes our world, for better or worse. From over-tourism and sex tourism to last chance travel, join me, Erin Hines, and my producer, Katie Lohr.
That's me.
To explore the ways in which we can all travel better and build a positive tourism future. Subscribe to Curious Tourism wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm David Brody, co-host of the Travel in 10 podcast. Together, myself and my co-host, Tim Johnson, have traveled to over 150 countries around the world and all seven continents. Now we're sharing our favorite places, some of our best tips and experiences from all around the world in just 10 minutes on Travel in 10. Join us at voyescape.com.